We're very excited. This is part three of our series, and we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this evening, we're going to be particularly looking at the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. We're going to do two of them at the same time. And the reason isn't to save time. The reason is because they so very often go together. And it's interesting that word of knowledge is the first one listed. Word of wisdom is the first one listed in the list. And, you know, through this whole series, we've really been after hitting a few key agenda points. Number one is we want to show that it is normal for the believer to function in these gifts. There's a tendency for us to call them the supernatural gifts and by doing so kind of position them out there somewhere where I can't get them because I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not qualified, I haven't been trained, whatever, they sound scary, I think they're too risky, you know, whatever the reasons are. We've kind of pushed them out there. And so it's really important that we understand that the way God thinks is natural to Him. Would you agree? But now you are in Christ, and now you're taking on His mind, and so it should become natural to you. So the word supernatural should really only apply to the non-believer. Correct? Because to you, it's now becomes your new natural. So in the new natural, we're learning now to walk in the new natural. We're learning to walk in the natural in such a way that it now becomes normal for us as believers to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are not super, you know, spiritual gifts for the few. These are not those who are just called to that. So some bad teaching around this goes along the lines of, well, it's your gift. You know, I haven't been given the gift of knowledge. I've been given the gift of tongues. Well, I think we cleared that up early on. Greg cleared that up and showed that all the gifts are available to everyone, right? And they're available all the time. Now, we come into a church-type meeting like this, and we practice those gifts. And part of that is to build the body up, and for the body to be encouraged and built up, the ministry has to be clear, and we must be careful that we do it in such a way that we encourage them, and so people leave feeling comforted and encouraged and blessed, and they feel a sense of the Lord's clear direction. How the Lord's spoken to me, I've met with the Lord, and He's broadened my horizons. So the reason we do that in church is because this is the huddle, this is not the game. So when we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, yes, they form meetings, and Paul takes a lot of time to describe to us how these meetings should be conducted. However, they're not restricted to meetings at church. They actually enable us to do life and walk in this new normal. So this new normal of power, this new normal that's empowered by heaven, this new normal that's aligned directly with heaven and everything Jesus paid for to be part of our inheritance. Now, right in the beginning, Greg shared with us that there were three sets of gifts, right? There were the grace gifts given by the Father, leadership, hospitality, administration, and so on. There were the fivefold gifts that Jesus gave to the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And then there was another set of gifts, which are the nine gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And they've broken roughly into three groups. We talked about that there are speaking gifts, right? There are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. There are knowing gifts. We're doing two of them tonight, knowledge and wisdom and discerning of spirits. We'll dedicate the whole of next week just to discerning of spirits because that's a fun one. And then doing gifts, or the power gifts, as we sometimes call them, which is faith, healing, and miracles. So it's stuff you speak by the Spirit, it's stuff you know by the Spirit, and it's stuff you do by the Spirit. And now, guess what happens? God isn't in neat little boxes and says, no, today we're only giving them a word of knowledge. He often packs them together. They often go in packs. God gives gifts so generously. And then often when He gives you a prophetic word, He's also giving you a gift of faith. Often when the Lord gives you a word of knowledge, you often get a word of wisdom to go with it. But because we have nice little boxes in our minds, we often don't press through to that next level. So we get a word from the Lord, but we don't ask Him about the wisdom to deliver the word. we receive and we hear accurately, but then we do a little more, we're not as effective because we don't do what he says and when he says. So we're going to talk quite a bit about the practical aspects of hearing from the Lord. Now you're going to say, was that a prophetic word or was that a word of knowledge? And I don't think anybody cares. Right? Because did it bring life from heaven into the situation? Then well done. The Holy Spirit moved. And you can ask the Lord afterwards to give you a word of knowledge about whether that was a word of knowledge or not. And you know what? He's so good and he's so much full of fun. Now, if you haven't learned about the playfulness of the Holy Spirit, learning to walk in the gifts, you're going to discover this. I've shared this story before, but for the sake of the video, I'd like to share it again. And that is, you know, I was one time doing a presentation to a board. At this company, I'd been working with the CEO, and we were about to propose quite a dramatic change to this business. And I had my 80-something PowerPoint slides ready to go, my computer's up there. I got this whole board, and they're a tough crowd. If you see who's on this board, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, head of a famous law firm, and, you know, there's, I mean, it's a really high-powered board, and I'm thinking, it's going to be hard work. And I'm about to start, and the Holy Spirit, in his usual playful way, says to me, don't say anything. I said, Lord, I'm the one with the clicker. These are my PowerPoint slides up here. And I am about to do this presentation I've worked for weeks on. And the Lord said, watch this. Just let me do this. Don't say anything. So I'm adjusting my computer, and I'm checking the connection. It's all working, of course. It's an Apple. What did you expect? So, now if I had a PC, you know, people would understand the delay. So, because you know, all PCs take an hour presentation. The 20 minutes for the presentation, 40 minutes to get the projector to work with the PC and act. So, anyway, got to have my little dig. So the, you know, that's why we're an apostolic household, right? So anyway, so the jokes get worse. I'm about to do the presentation. I'm looking to the Lord, and the Lord says, just be quiet and let me do this. And so I'm standing there, and one person says to them, just before he starts, I just have a question. And he throws this question, and they get into this about 40-minute conversation about what happened, and they get through our whole presentation, and they land at a far better place than I was going to ask them. So they turned to me and said, okay, go for it. And I said, well, we've already had the meeting. This is really great. And so let's just summarize what we agreed to. And we ended up in a far better place than my whole presentation would have taken us. And sometimes the Lord is that playful. Sometimes the Lord just wants to show you. He really doesn't need you to do this. Just watch this. I'll do this for you. Watch, let me do it. So it gets to be really fun. And it gets to be part of your parenting. It gets to be part of your relationship with your spouse. And if you're single, it gets to be part of your walk with the Lord. Or if you're at college, it gets to be, the Holy Spirit wants to do life with you in such a way that what was before supernatural gifts have now become natural power to you. They have to become normal and natural to you because they're normal and natural to him. Okay, very good. So let's dive straight in and have some fun. So I want to talk a little bit about what happens to Jesus. And the Pharisees say, why does this fellow, speaking of Jesus, talk like that? I'm reading from Mark 2. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Because Jesus had just said your sins are forgiven. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what this was, what they were thinking in their hearts. In other words, he wasn't just knowing what was thinking in their minds, but in their inner being, in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? So Jesus flows in this gift. The Holy Spirit is cooperating with Jesus because Jesus has chosen to restrict himself to human form. And so Jesus is modeling for us on how we can do this. Jesus isn't just coming to earth to die and pay price for our sin. He's showing us how life in the Spirit looks when you walk with God. When you walk with the Father, when you speak the Father's words, when you're about the Father's business, and when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's really exciting because Jesus, of course, is our master and our model. He shows us, he himself uses and walks in. But many times Jesus used a word of knowledge. So what is a word of knowledge and who used it? Well, the word of knowledge, by the way, goes through the Old and the New Testament. This isn't a uniquely New Testament idea. The Holy Spirit has been working throughout history, giving these gifts to men and women. Elijah was able to warn the king of Israel of the enemy's plans of destruction in 2 Kings. Jesus convinced a sinner of her need when he said to her, you know, go and tell your husband. You remember the woman at the well? And she said, oh, well, you know, I don't have a husband. And he said, that's true because you had five and the one you're with isn't yours now and so on. Remember that? What did it do for the woman? Was that to show off how brilliant Jesus was? Or was that to bring something to her? That was to bring life to her, to let her know that he knew who she was. He knew her intimately and that this gift was for her. This water, she said, if I could drink this water, if I could have this living water, my life would change. And he wanted to know, I know you and this is for you. So what we're going to talk a lot about is what's the purpose of these gifts. They are not just for meetings. Oh, they certainly are where we practice them and it's where we function. And there's a tremendous ministry to one another in meetings, but they're meant for life. They're meant for doing life together with the Lord. We know that Ananias found Paul, who was still then Saul, and knew his need, his condition, his call. Remember, Paul was on a road to Damascus, Saul was on the road to Damascus. He has an encounter with Jesus. He ends up, he's blind, and the Lord sends this guy, Ananias, sends him by word of knowledge. Now, it's going to take a word of knowledge. Imagine if there was some great persecutor of the church who's killing Christians, right? And the Lord says to you, I've met with him, you go to him, he's staying over there, this is my call on his life. Now, you have to know you heard from God. And here's how you know you've heard from God. The best way to describe that clarity that comes from the Holy Spirit is this. You just know that you know that you know. It's a spirit thing. It's not a mental or intellectual thing. It's not an intellectual understanding or an emotional feeling or a desire of your will. It's a far deeper thing that it comes out of your inner spirit. And what it is, it's you knowing that you know. It's like a kind of confidence. It's like the Lord gives a word with a confidence that goes with it. It's the best way to describe it. Okay, so we see many, many people. I just picked three quick examples. I picked Jesus. I picked one of the New Testament folks. And I picked someone from the Old Testament to show that this has been around a long time. Okay, and as we said earlier, is that God's plan here for us is to start to walk in this in such a natural way that it becomes natural to us, no longer supernatural. I think if you see yourself using the term supernatural, it's a subtle way of kind of disqualifying yourself from what's really yours. And by that I mean because what you're doing is you're putting it into a realm that you don't live in. But Jesus lives in this realm, and you're in Jesus, so you live in this realm, right? This is your new realm. It is your new realm, your new normal. So what is it? What is this word of knowledge? It's deeper insight and information from God. It's a little piece of his all knowledge. So God has all knowledge, and then he takes a little piece of all knowledge and hands it to you. So it's not coming from learning. It's not your education. It's not your observations. Its source is directly from the Holy Spirit. He is the bringer. That's why they're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit brings them. He knows the Father's heart. He knows all. He sees what the Father's agenda is here. And so he brings you some knowledge that you could not have known in a normal human way. I remember we were a couple of us went camping together. We were a bunch of families with young kids, and we decided we would have a break. And so we went out and did an evening or two camping together. It was really fun. We're sitting around the campfire, and we just started to pray. And we just thought we would just spend a few minutes praying. And as we start praying, I see a picture of a little boy who's about 5 years old. And there's this blue house with these stairs that go down the middle. I see it so clearly. I just got this picture, and this little boy's crying, and I have a sense of why he's crying. So, and I said to the Lord, you know, when the Lord gives it to you, it comes in like a whole package, right? And I know that this is for my friend, and I'll just call him John. So I know it's for John. So I turned to him, and I said, John, does this mean anything to you? I see a picture, and I think it's of you, 5 years old, I describe the building and the house, rather, and I describe your feelings of tremendous sadness, and you're 5 years old, and you're crying, and the Lord says, this changes today. Is that meaningful to you? And he starts to get emotional, and he says, that's the day my dad left. He said, I remember that day, and I was standing, and he described, he said, what you just described was the home we grew up in. That's how the porch looked. Those were the stairs. That's where I was standing, and I was five, and I was crying. And so the Lord reaches back into his life through a word of knowledge to bring healing and wholeness to him. And what did it cost me? Right? Hearing a picture, a little bit of courage, presenting it to him. We prayed for him, and the whole evening was about him, and what a breakthrough for him. The Lord brought a healing and became a father to him in a way that his own father wasn't. And so the Lord restored something very deep and beautiful to him that evening. So there was no way I could have known such knowledge, right? Now, that may sound a little spectacular, but I can tell you at the time, it felt desperately ordinary. It didn't feel da-da at all. It was just an impression in my spirit. And when I acted on, now that I'm telling you in a sermon environment, it sounds profound, but it wasn't. It was ordinary. It was God's using ordinary people to speak an ordinary word to bring an extraordinary transformation. Okay, so what's it for? What's the point? It's to bring insight that helps people and expose wrong thinking. I wish we had the time to go through all the examples of Scripture where words of knowledge were used. We saw early on that Jesus knew that they were thinking incorrectly, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, showed Jesus what they were thinking in their hearts. I have been in business meetings, and I've had a word of knowledge that I know what the other person is thinking. There's no way I could have known. I've never met these people. You know, I hadn't met them before the meeting. But I've been in a meeting, and I know. I'm not saying this happens in every meeting, but I have had meetings where, by the Spirit, the Lord, you say, well, what's the purpose of that? So that I can help the situation, so that I can bring God's agenda, I can bring heaven to earth in this context. It's part of what God, you know, we say the Lord wants to bless you and prosper you, but he also wants you to function with an extraordinary advantage, and that is you have a partner, the Holy Spirit, who's part of the process. So the Lord often wants to bring us a kind of healing or a kind of breakthrough or a kind of imaginative situation that will change. One morning I got up and I was facing a very complex business situation. It was complex because I had to put a deal together in a certain way, and it was very challenging. What I had to do to get everybody to get what they wanted out of the deal seemed to be a complete contradiction. It didn't seem actually physically possible. I didn't think there was a way to get this to work, to get the math to work, you know. If you say, I insist on 10, and the other one insists on, you know, buying it at 2, the other wants to, you know, sell it at 10, and neither are moving. That's sort of a very simplified version of what I was dealing with. But add to it several other players and a lot more complexity, and I stood there, and I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know. So I tell you what I would love to do. I'm just going to start glorifying you. Because here's an interesting thing. When you start glorifying the Father, you start to scale your perception. That's the wonder of worship, right? It scales your perception, and you remember, he's this big, and my problem's this big. But before you started worship, your problem was this big, and he was that big, right? And so worship creates a proper inversion or a right side upness in your life. That's a new word. You should write that down. It'll help, right? It'll get you right side up so that you are orientated towards heaven, that you're not so focused. Your eyes are now fixed on heaven. They're not fixed on the earth. Your eyes are no longer, your mind is no longer scaled by your problem, but your solution is now scaled by Jesus. What happens is an expansion in your heart and mind come because your eyes are on the Lord. And so worship is a great way to start any new business solution. And so I said to the Lord, show me what to do. And I have big whiteboards up in this one room. And the Lord said, this whiteboard, I have 3. And so the Lord pointed me to which whiteboard. And he said, that number over there. And I said, no, I know that number. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good number. And the Lord said, that's the number over there. So I walked up to it, and I got a pen, and I just circled it, and I started to look, and I said, Lord, what about that number? And the Lord started to ask me a couple of questions. Actually, only asked me two questions, and it got my brain going. And then as I started going through it, it just hit me, and I got it. Now, the Lord didn't say, here's the solution. The Lord said, here's the key to the solution. He wanted me to have the fun of creating it. He wanted me to have the fun of inventing the solution, with his help, of course. So we sometimes think that God wants us to become passive people, and we don't do anything. We just walk around and say, okay, what's the answer for this? He says that. And the answer for that? Oh, he says that. That's not how he is. He wants to partner with you, but he wants to give you this edge that comes that's backed by heaven. So that is the opportunity. Words of knowledge can be small. They can be, Lord, how do I fix this situation with my child? I don't know what to do, right? I can remember, you know, Bridget and I always say, someday somebody's going to figure out, we've got all these parent courses, and we've got this nice, you know, parenting course on 411 and so on, but someday somebody's going to figure out, we actually only know one thing about parenting, and that is the Holy Spirit. And it sounds trite, do what he says, but it really is that. Because you can have general rules of your house, and you can have general things, you know, we do this and we do that, and these are the consequences. But at the end of the day, you follow the Holy Spirit. Now, when one of our children, one day, decided that he was going to tell me he was not doing something, which was uncharacteristic for him, looked me in the eye and said, I'm not doing that. I said, you absolutely are. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. And then went off to his room. And man, my hand went onto the sword. We are going to deal with this problem, right? But because he was older, and I always have that, we have the habit of taking a few seconds, a minute or two, just go to the bathroom, go somewhere alone, and connect with the Lord. I said, Lord, I really need you to help me. I need to hear you above the noise of my frustration, above the noise of my emotions right now, but I need to hear you. And the Lord said, I'll go with you. That's all he said. And as I'm heading towards his room, I hear the Lord say, because I'm like, I'm going to straighten this out. No, our kids don't do this in our home. Da, 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 da. And the Lord says, don't you dare. You show him grace. And I said, if you say so, Lord. And when I got there, I just walked in. We had a very calm conversation. And a whole lot of things came out about what was going on at school that I would never have received had I gone in with a firm hand. There's been other times when something small happened and I thought, it's just kids. You know what they're like? The Lord said, take control of that. Get hold of that. That thing is shaping them. I would not have known this on either case, either way, because we're led by the Spirit. We are people who are not no longer governed by the law. We're free from the law. We're now people led by the Spirit. And one of the ways he leads is giving us supernatural word of knowledge, telling us that's the situation here. That's what's going on over here. Here's extra information. Some of it is big. Some of it is us, you know, December 1992, for those of you who know our story, I was in Germany waiting for a bunch of insurance executives to arrive to meet some of our German clients, and we were, you know, about to meet them, and I walk into the room, and the presence of the Lord is just, man, I'm aware of it. It's tangible. I don't want to say I walked into the presence of the Lord because I brought the presence of the Lord in, right? He never left me. When I accepted Jesus, I'm always in the presence of the Lord, so I don't have to press in. I was in. So I'm enjoying the presence, but man, I became aware. We have different awareness levels. Well, I was aware, and the presence of the Lord was tangible, and the Lord spoke to me of several things which I wrote down. One of them was to move to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I didn't know Atlanta was a city and Georgia was a state, and that the two were related. Because, you know, we were South Africans. We learned the 200 countries of the world and their capitals. So, you know, the United States, Washington, D.C. That's what we knew about the U.S. I didn't know the different states and their capitals. Certainly didn't know Atlanta. So I was thrilled before the internet, 92, right? So I get hold of a map and I look, hey, there's a place called Atlanta, Georgia. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. I don't know where it is, what it did. Could have been a desert, you know. Could have been a bunch of strange people, but it turned out to be nice people like you. So that's the point. We had no idea. But what did the grounding did it do? Now, we'll talk when I get to a word of wisdom. It wasn't just a word of knowledge. We didn't just pack up and go. We'll talk about what we did with a word of wisdom. Okay, so what is it for? It's to really help people and to expose wrong thinking. You good? You still okay? Great. Okay, so the question is, that sounds good. How do we get it? Greg spent a lot of time in the last two sessions talking about eagerly desiring spiritual gift. Do you remember that scripture when he says, when Jesus was talking about this, and he says, you get into error for two reasons. There's two reasons, left and right. Do you remember what they are? On the one hand, you don't know the word. And the other hand, you don't know the power of God. If all you know is the word, or all you know is the power, you've opened yourself up to error, according to Jesus. He wants you to know both the word and his power, right? So how do we get it? Well, we get it because we desire to walk in this new normal. We desire to walk in this new natural. And as we desire to walk in, we come to the Lord and we ask. I've never asked and the Lord said, no, none for you. It's not your gift, right? And then when we do receive it, what do we do with it? We combine it with wisdom. I don't think I can think of a word of knowledge that was not combined with a word of wisdom. And I think that's why they often go together. I can't think of a situation where the Lord will just give you knowledge and not give you the wisdom to deliver it. You know, prophets, you ask, one of the questions we like to ask prophets is, how much do you share from what you receive? And most prophets will tell you 20 to 30%. And you go, well, what's the point of that? Why would God tell them 100 if they're going to share 30? And the reason is, most of the time, God shows you things with a word of knowledge is so that you can be Christ to them, so that you can show them unconditional love, so that you can be Jesus to them, so that you can pray for them with accuracy. So, well, that doesn't sound very spectacular. Yeah, but it's really effective. And it's very powerful. I remember my spiritual dad saying to me that if you're going to become a father in the kingdom, get used to the idea that almost everything you see, you'll never act on. You're not there to correct others. You're not the Holy Spirit. They have a Lord Holy Spirit. They don't need a Lord Dion. They're doing just great. So sometimes we want to do the Holy Spirit's job for him and help him along. And that's when this stuff gets messy. When we start to dig into each other's lives without authority. When we start to get involved where there was no invited authority into our lives. And that's why the whole thing of belonging to a local church and trusting the elders and the team that you're submitting to is so important. Because the membership is just a means of inviting authority into your life. That's all it is. It's giving them permission. Say, please help me with my walk. And they are committing to lay down their lives for you. Much like a husband and a wife. She gives him the gift of submission. He cannot demand it from her. And he lays down his life for her. And she cannot demand that from him. But that's the same relationship. And why functioning and learning the gifts in this kind of new normal environment is because we need oversight. We need to make sure that when the weird stuff happens, and it will, that we can stop. My favorite story about all this still is, many years later, is, you know, sometimes, you know, we say to people, don't make stuff up if God's giving you. And so because we had a ministry mic, we were a big church, you know, a lot of people, many thousands of people, and then somebody would come up and we'd be pastor on duty, and so it was our turn. Greg and Michelle had their turn when we were on pastors on staff together at this church. And so you'd sit in the front row, and then the line would just line up, and you'd have to go up and listen to everybody's words and try to coordinate them. It was a very stressful job, actually. And every now and again, somebody, you know, would just, while you're talking to somebody, would just slip by and go straight to the mic. And you can't exactly run up there and pull them away and say, it's not your turn or whatever. So you just be gracious. You let it go and see what happens. And we had this guy got up and he slipped by me and he was out in front of the mic. And he started with a full-on show. You know, he felt that it wasn't the Lord unless he dressed it up, unless he made it sound like it was coming from God himself. So in first person, he was going, yeah, he says the Lord, I would say unto thee, I would say. And he went on and on. And then he said, and I don't know what the Lord wants to say. And just went and sat down. Well, we love the honesty. Wasted a few minutes. But, you know, sometimes in church, you have to practice. Sometimes you have to let it go. I remember growing up in a church where David Griffiths, my spiritual dad, was the pastor. We were a small church about this size, and there was a lady, and she always sat in this one place in the church. And if you grew up in a Pentecostal charismatic church, you know what the story I'm about to tell, right? You could tell by the rhythm of the music. Come on. You knew what was happening. Sister, dear sister, was getting wound up. She was doing the breathing. she was getting ready to go, and action. And she was just shouting tongues, flat out, top of her voice, in the middle of a song or in one section of it. And our pastor had just arrived. He was there 1 or 2 weeks. In the second week was there, our dear sister launched off, did her thing. And he was sitting on the stage. He just got up quietly, walked up to her, and he talked to her for a few minutes, and he came back. The next week, she was about to get all wound up. He saw her go through a routine. She'd been doing this for 20 years. You know, she thought that's how God moves. We get stuff in our heads, right? It's more culture than it has anything to do with actually what the Holy Spirit does. But in her mind, that's how the Lord moved. So he just walked down. He walked up to her. And before she exploded, he stopped. He stopped the music. He took the microphone and he said, "Sister, dear sister, open your eyes. Put your hands down. Open your eyes. Look at me. Breathe. Relax." She looked at him, she was all surprised. He said, "Now, okay. Now, calmly and quietly, speak in tongues." She spoke. He interpreted. He said, "Don't we love our dear sister? She's always available to the Lord. She's always here to bring us the word of the Lord. Don't we love her? Why don't we just give her a round of honor?" And everyone cheered. And he went back up. What had he done? He'd shown her that the Holy Spirit isn't restricted to her narrow expression of who he is. It can have a much broader expression. So what we do with it often requires some skill. As leaders, it sometimes takes a little tact, right? A little wisdom. Now, sometimes you have to shut things down, but in my experience, it's probably happened 5 times in 30 years. So don't be afraid that the leaders are going to shut you down. They're much more likely to go with you and figure it out. Okay. So don't be afraid. Okay, good. Let's get to word of wisdom, and we're going to keep this moving. I'm going to pick up the pace a little more. So, word of wisdom. I love what happens with Stephen. Stephen is arrested. He's defending the gospel, and I love what Acts 6 says about Stephen. It says, "But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke." Don't you love that? Stephen gets up and he speaks. And you know, this happens again and again with the disciples. They get arrested, and then the Pharisees and the authorities, they look at these people and say, "But these are unschooled people. These are uneducated men. Where does this wisdom come from?" You know, this can get to be pretty spectacular or become pretty simple. Sometimes it's as simple as this. So let me give you 101 word of wisdom for business. Here it is. Very deep. You're going to want to write this down. It's very deep. And that is, stop talking. That's the first thing you learn from the Holy Spirit in business. Stop talking. People say, "I want to learn to function in the Spirit." I say, "Oh, I can teach you that." Rule number one, learn when the Lord says stop talking. You're in a meeting, the Lord says stop talking. Stop talking. Start listening. Okay, because what we find is when we stop talking, we give him chance to talk. When we stop talking, we turn our attention to him. We say, "Lord, what's really going on here? Show me, give me the wisdom. Give me a word of knowledge. Give me a word of wisdom. Tell me what's going on here. Tell me how to function here," right? And sometimes it's on the spur of the moment. You're in the Spirit. You haven't even gone through that whole ask the Lord thing. You get asked a question and you speak, and afterwards it's so good you wish you'd taken notes. Right? For those of you who teach and preach, you know that happens. Sometimes you finish teaching, you go, "Man, that was good. I got to get the recording. I got to go and listen to it online because that was profound. I know I said it, but it was profound." Because what's happening is the Holy Spirit speaks through you and he shares wisdom and you see people come alive. Okay, so who used it? Just a couple of examples. Daniel, who counseled kings, knew and acknowledged the word of wisdom that was given to him. He could tell the dream. He could tell exactly what to do about it. You know, you watch Daniel working with the guard, right, when they were going to round up everybody and kill them. Watch carefully how Daniel very carefully speaks to the guard and knows exactly what to say with a word of wisdom. Saves all their lives. Sometimes it is life and death. By word of wisdom, Abraham was guided to a promised land in Genesis 12. We know Agabus, by word of wisdom, warned of coming famine. So, that's in Acts 11. So we see it's been used a lot by various people. There's a tremendous long list. We don't have time to go through them all, of course, but just a few samples there. So what is it? It's God revealing his plans, his purposes, and his wisdom to his people. This is a lot of times got to do with the Lord's intention. Now, if you don't believe God has an intention for your business, then you won't be asking for that kind of wisdom, will you? If you feel God doesn't have intention for the United States, then all you do is you operate at the ground level, because we're citizens of two places, aren't we? We're citizens of the United States, which is an honor, and we're citizens of heaven, which is an honor. And so when we come to an election, we get to be citizens of two places, and we get to have two opinions. The one has got to do with this realm, and the other's got to do with that realm. It's not that God picks candidates, because that would be a worldly view of the same thing. It's what's the wisdom of God for America right now. That's why I believe America's greatest days are ahead of us. Oh, God isn't judging us, right? It's not because of this sin and that sin. Because otherwise, the Father would have to do some apologizing to Jesus, because all the wrath of God has been put on Jesus. Except for a couple of this group and that group and that group in America in the 21st century. All the rest were forgiven. Do you see how ridiculous that sounds? Ours is a message of reconciliation. That is the story of New Covenant believers, not a message of judgment. So sometimes we get the knowledge right, but we don't get the wisdom right. We know what's going on, but we say it badly, or we execute it badly, or we say too much, or we say too much too soon. Okay, so where does this knowledge come from? Again, it's from the Holy Spirit. Here's where it's not from. It's not from experience. It's not from human wisdom. And it's not from your intuition, your gut feel. That's not where this comes from. This comes out of your inner being, from your inner spirit. And it's a kind of wisdom that often it is so simple you could almost miss it. I think our expectations, like our dear lady in the church who wanted to wind up so she could do the ministry piece in the service, sometimes we do that with the Lord. We have very narrow views of who the Lord wants to be to us in that moment. Very narrow views of how the Holy Spirit wants to move through you in that. And so what I found, the best way to open your mind up is to start asking the Lord a lot of questions. I've never offended the Lord asking him questions. So if we go into the Lord and say, what do you see about this person? Who is this person? How can I understand what you're doing right now? What is that person's real agenda? It's amazing in business how this works. You're in the marketplace, you're in a meeting, and you can scale it to either be just at this level, i.e. an employee of the company, or you can be an employee of the company and a son or daughter of the king at the same time. When you do both, it's amazing what opens up. And sometimes the Lord won't give you necessarily a word of wisdom, but he'll give you a great question which leads to a great bit of wisdom. And so, you know, oftentimes the best way, especially for employees, especially if you're not the person leading the meeting, the best thing is to ask a question. And it's amazing how sometimes those questions open things up. Okay, so what's it for? Why does God do this? To do what? To provide strategy, purpose, and intentionality to doing God's will or doing what God asked. It's to provide strategy. Some of you right now are needing strategy for your lives. You're needing strategy for your business. You're needing strategy for your career. You're needing strategy for your marriage. You're asking the Lord, where should I live and which church should I go to? You need strategy. You need some intent. You've got some intentionality. You can feel the Lord's doing something, but you don't know what it is. Now, we've all been there at some point. Maybe many of you are there tonight. Maybe if you're watching by video. And that's what the word is, to answer that question. What is it you'd have me do, Lord? Give me wisdom. So how do we get it? Again, by eagerly desiring it. And here's a wonderful promise from James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it may sometimes be given to you. No, it will definitely be given to you. You see, not only does the Lord say, there's a couple of promises there, right? What's your job here? To do what? To ask. And what's his job to do? To give how? Generously. Okay. And when he gives generously, does he hold back because you didn't quite qualify, because you kind of messed up last week, because, you know, the last time you asked, you didn't do this well, and, you know, without finding fault. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet that when you come to the Lord, because, you know, your spouses, some, you know, spouses, we don't always do this right. You know what I'm saying? Because the last time they asked your opinion, you told them, and what did they do? They did it wrong. But the Lord isn't like that. What the Lord is like is he says, I know you messed this up last, but I love that you came to me. Here is wisdom. I found you get as much wisdom as you ask for. You come with a little basket asking for wisdom, the Lord will fill your basket. You come with a nice big basket asking for wisdom. You come with, just back up the U-Haul, you know. So I'm coming for wisdom, Lord. Doors go out. Fill it up. Because here's the thing, it's only got to do how long you're prepared to listen. And sometimes we want it all in one download, but in my experience, the Lord wants to walk it out with you, not necessarily give it to you all in one upfront download. Some of you are good and you can get it in one download. Bless your hearts, and we all hate you. So we would like to encourage you, I'd like to encourage you, don't put yourself down if this has been a difficult process for you. If you haven't got a great track record in this, the Lord doesn't find fault as you come and ask him. So let me get really practical in these last few minutes. Okay, so I just brought down to four things. Ask, receive, reflect, act. Ask, receive, reflect, act. In other words, tune in, ask. Tune in to who the Lord is. Tune in to who he is for you, right? Think of the little process Jesus took the disciples through when they wanted to feed the 5,000. We know the story so well, so I'm going to skip the story bit, and I'm going to go straight to the lesson. What was the lesson, right? Jesus says to the disciples, right? They're gathering together. Sorry, they say to him, firstly, we can't feed the people. Send them away. What does Jesus say? You feed them. How many things is the Lord putting on your plate right now? And he say, you do it. And you go, no way. See, what he's doing is getting you to own it. Because if you own a responsibility so much greater than your ability, then you have to turn to him for execution. Right? Because otherwise, we'll just take on the responsibility that matches our ability. I'll take this on in the church because I have this ability. Or maybe I have this ability, I'll take on this much in the church. Right? Isn't that what we like? Do some margin in there. Sounds smart. But that's not God's way. He doesn't work in margin. He does work in margin, but from his point of view, not yours. So he says, you feed them. They said, how can we feed them? We'd have to work a year to pay for this. And so then the Lord says, well, what do you have? First thing, gives them responsibility. You feed it. Take it. Own it. Two, what do you have? What's in your hand? We've got a few loaves and fishes. Okay, let's go with that. He provides the miracle. So what they did is they brought to Jesus the problem, and he turned it around and gave them a possibility. We have a problem to feed the people. God turned it around and said, you feed them. The possibility that we could miraculously feed these people. Wow, right? So first step, Jesus turns it around. Second thing, he provides the miracle. Then he hands it to who? He didn't go and give it to the people. He gave it to the one he gave the responsibility to. The miracle always follows the person who takes the responsibility. Miraculous power always follows the one who's willing to step up and say, give it to me, Lord. I'll feed him. I have no idea how. But if you say so, I'll feed him. Right? So the miracle goes into the hands of the person with responsibility. And then at their hands, the miracle happened. Right? Now, I don't know if they each got a fraction of a fish and a fraction of a piece of bread and then it just never ran out, or whether it multiplied in Jesus' hand immediately into their hands. We don't quite know, but what we do know is that there's one basket for each disciple afterwards, 12 baskets of extras, which speaks of God's extravagance in provision. So he gets frustrated with them when they, a little while later, they're in the boat, there's the storm, and it says they did not understand. They didn't understand the loaves and fishes. They didn't understand what happened there. Because what did he want them to do? For them to own it. you quieten the storm. How many of you are asking Jesus to quieten the storm right now when he's asking you to do it? Not by your power, by his power. How many of you are saying, Lord, you need to feed these people? And he's saying, you feed them. So it comes. Now, you can only do that when you get a clear word from the Lord, and he's saying, you do it. And then, through the word of wisdom, he tells you what to do, where to step out, and what to do. In a church context, these first steps look a little bit like, put yourself out for others. Come to church. Here's an example. Why don't you come on Sunday to church with a word for someone? Already done. Ready in the pocket, ready to go. Well, I want it just to be fresh and spontaneous. Yeah, that's not really helpful, because then we have to rely on you being in a fresh and spontaneous mood before you want to minister, right? So how about you just get a word on Thursday, stick it in your pocket and have it. It won't go stale by Sunday. It'll be fine, because it's timeless, because heaven doesn't have time. So it's timeless. It's a timeless word. Won't go stale. It'll be fine. It doesn't have to be wild and spontaneous and in the moment for it all to be deep and of God. It can do that, but for the most part, being thoughtful. And so a lady came to me at Northlands one time, and she said, I've got a word for this other lady in the church, but it's such a strange word. I wanted to speak to somebody about it. And the word was, the Lord said, you think you have cancer, this kind of cancer, but you don't have cancer. I said, well, is she going for tests right now? She says, no, I know. She isn't going for tests. She doesn't even know she should go for tests. What to do with the word? Do you go and say, you know, that's a bit like the Lord wants you to know you're an idiot, but he forgives you. You know, it's not a helpful, uplifting word. Okay. So I said to her, here's what we're going to do. We're going to write the date, and you're going to sign it, and I'm going to sign it, and we're going to put it in your Bible, and we're going to ask the Lord when. She said, okay. So she sits on that word for, I think, 6 months in her Bible. Didn't go stale. Now here you go, what's the point of that? Here's the point of that. That lady found out there was something wrong. She was about to go for tests. And the first lady went and gave her the note that was dated 6 months earlier, signed by the two of us. Right? Do you think she was encouraged? Do you think her faith lifted? Okay. So sometimes the wisdom adds power to it. Sometimes the delay actually makes it more valuable, not less. Okay. Listen and take time to hear. Sometimes we're so quick, Lord, just give me a quick word. Just take a moment. What a gift to someone else that you just gave up 15 minutes of your own time to get a word for them. I've lived off the words some of you have shared with me over the years. I've lived off those. You know, Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 weeks on a sincere compliment. I'd like to modify that. I can live for 2 years on a good prophetic word, on a word of knowledge, on a word of wisdom. Okay, then ask the Lord for the wisdom, what to do with it. And ask the Lord about timing and what amount should I share. Sometimes the Lord says, so here's what happens. When the Lord starts scaling down what you're allowed to share, huge compliment. He's trusting you. But if you're the guy or the girl who blurts everything out you hear, guess what God's going to share? Let's just slow down, right? Then the Lord comes and says, here's this person's life. Tell them about this, and then pray about that. What a service to them, right? Beautiful. The last point is, act prudently. Take, you know, in your action. Get a leader involved if you need to. Very good. Okay, so same 4 steps at work. In a meeting or a task, stop talking, tune in. Lord, what are you doing here? What's really the quick way out of this? What's the solution here? What's really going on? What are people thinking? Right? I've been amazed. I had a situation with an employee. He phoned me, a manager actually, and said, the Lord has shown me that this other guy on our team is toxic. That's the word he used, toxic. So I said, why would the Lord show you that? No, he needs to go. You need to fire him. And and I said to him, okay, here's what's happening. The reason the Lord is showing you there's a problem, and by the way, later on turned out he was right, there was a problem. But the reason the Lord's showing you there's a problem is to give this person grace. is to give this person opportunity. This is an opportunity for you to be Christ to them, to love them unconditionally regardless of their poor performance. And so that was not the answer he was expecting, right? I said, we're already working with this individual. We are checking, and as it turned out, it didn't work out. But the bottom line is, when the Lord says something to you that is exposing wrong thinking, he's often exposing your wrong thinking. It's not that initially that they're toxic. It's the way he wants you to respond to how toxic they are. He wants you to bring life instead of their atmosphere dominating in the office. Let your atmosphere of peace dominate instead of their crazy, chaotic dominance. How many of you have got an atmosphere you'd like to shift at the office, right? Exactly. You've got an atmosphere and you go, this has got to shift. How come theirs is dominating? Why? Because we let it. You have the authority, right? Now, that's one thing to know you have authority. Knowing how to do it will take a word of wisdom. So go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a word of wisdom. Let me shift this atmosphere. Maybe the Lord should just walk around and compliment everyone today. I was in a meeting this week, and I had to take someone to task on a very serious matter. And I get them on the phone, and the Lord says to me, be complimentary and encouraging and be very full of grace. And I go, okay, Lord, I've learned to trust that the Lord will do something. And I did that. And the person turned the whole situation around. They made a self-correction. And they said, I was going to tell you about this and then this and then that. And I never even had to confront them. They just came out with it all. And the problem resolved in a completely different mode to what I had intended to in the natural. Okay, so that's where the wisdom part comes in. And finally, the prudent. Now, here's a quick way to be prudent in the marketplace. Ask questions. Obviously, you're not going to get up in the middle of the management meeting and say, well, you're all idiots because I just heard from God this very moment. And Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit showed me. Obviously, I don't do that, right? Or anything vaguely like that. But what you could do is, make it your idea. Remember, you feed them. You tell them. You give the idea. You come up with that new product idea. You come up with a solution. And then you ask questions. You start to ask the questions that lead the thought process. And questions is a nice way to be gracious and prudent. Okay, so we've run through all the different elements of it, and I wanted you to see this wonderful relationship. God is inviting you this evening, brothers and sisters, to a new normal, to a new natural, to demystify the supernatural and bring Holy Spirit into a partnership with you full of grace and power, where you know the Word and you know His power, where things start to happen in your daily lives that are extraordinary. They're extraordinary because they went beyond your ability and you decided to feed them simply because he told you to. And that's the invitation. We're going to have a few Q&As. So I hope you've had some questions. We need some tough questions to get you all going. Would you all like to stand for just 10 seconds? Stretch the legs. You were good. Cedar, thank you for being a great audience. And then you're thinking of questions. Just raise your hand so Tyler can see where the mic's got to go. Okay. Any questions? Okay. There we go. Liesl.
It's on. Great. So a lot of people will see words in pictures. Do you ever...
You can be seated, guys. Sorry.
Do you ever just get a picture and not know what it means or have the wisdom that goes with it? If you do get just a picture or a phrase or something, what do you do with that?
So the question is, do you ever get a word from the Lord and then not have the wisdom? Is that what you're saying? Does it ever come word of knowledge without a word of wisdom? I mean, the scripture leaves it open to have that possibility. In my personal experience, I found the only reason it doesn't come is God, I didn't ask. So I think if you get something like go and ask, but not just initially ask one, sometimes you have to ask, you know, really ask and go to the Lord. So another question, because we're going to practice now. So you either have to ask questions or we're going to practice. Is that good? Going once. Okay, very good. Well, thank you, everybody. I wanted to tell you that there are times that you will live and die. You'll hang on the words. I told you earlier, that the Lord told us to move to Atlanta, Georgia in December 92. We arrived in February of 94 because the Lord said, wait. And the Lord said, tell no one and wait for them, your partners. I had 7 business partners. Wait for them to tell you. And that's exactly what they did. And when they told us, then we planned and we went through the whole process and we brought wisdom. But the key the Lord said is don't tell anyone. That's another common thing the Lord will tell you. Here's what I'm going to do. Don't tell anyone. When he's talking about you, very often he tells you not to tell anyone. And that sounds a little counterintuitive, but it's amazing how much freedom that brings you, because you don't have to kind of go public with your whole story until God's ready for it to be public. So there's a lot of practical points. We sometimes hear people say, well, God told me to start a business, and they go and resign their job. And they go, yeah, you didn't stay for the second part, the wisdom part. Stay in your job and do what he says and ask for strategy. Well, I went and cleaned out my 401k, and I threw it all in the business, and I borrowed all the money from my brother-in-law. Or worse, I gave the money to my brother-in-law for his new business. Now, you know, that's all really bad idea, unless God very clearly tells you to do that, and then you would act with prudence and go and get a spiritual leader you trusted to check what you just said. So, I want to encourage you in this. God is not nervous. He's not going to give you a word, and then if you don't instantly respond on it right now, it's just gone. You were too late. That was 4 seconds out. You're out. He's just not that. That's not who he is. He's not the sort who gives you a word. He's so patient, he'll tell you the same thing for 5 years. He's just that kind. Now, we don't want to take 5 years when it can take 1 month, right? Or 1 week. So we want to get on with it. But there's a tremendous patience in the Holy Spirit with you. So go and ask him and ask him and ask him and ask him again. And write down what he says and go and share those things with people you trust, with leaders you trust. Say, what do you think of this? I believe the Lord said this. This is the word of knowledge. These are the words of wisdom that he gave me. What do you think? Because part of the way he may speak to you is through leaders that you trust. So thank you. What we're going to do now is we're going to divide up into smaller groups. And this is going to be really, really much more fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to make the groups just a little bigger, maybe because if it's, you know, 3 or 4, it's a little intense. But maybe if we make them 7 or 8 or so, and then what I want to do is I would like you to wait on the Lord and ask the Lord to give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. And in as you do this, don't worry. If it sounds a bit like a prophetic word, was that a prophetic word? Was that a word of knowledge? That doesn't really matter. You know, so you say, can we just turn this on? Well, it's because you think the Holy Spirit doesn't want to help train us? Absolutely. This is his training time. He's here. He wants to do this. And so, you know, the way I learned to prophesy, by the way, was on a youth camp. My spiritual dad, David, handed a Bible to the one side, and when you got the Bible, you prophesied. And then we collect the Bible, and then we started the same thing again with word of knowledge. Okay, and go. And then he said he trusts the Lord to find out, for those who are shy, who has which word. So not only will he ask, you know, that Tyler has a word, but I'll ask the Lord, what word did you just give Tyler? So he did that for us. And that's how we learned as teenagers. So it got demystified very fast. Bible's coming. Word now. Right. So we won't do the Bible thing. But what we will do is I want to encourage you to be eagerly desired. Put yourself out there a little. Take some risk. This is the family of God. Have a mistake on us. But I think you're going to be surprised at how you bless others. So let's do that.